longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported JAZZ 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 18th of January, Anno Domini 2011, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're going to bring you news, views, you know the story. Listen, tomorrow is Father's Day.
That's right.
So we get to just relax.
Let's say that. Let's say that.
Let's pretend that we actually just get to relax. All right, we'll start with the news. And
what's your first story?
Oh, DARPA. And I love this story. It doesn't have anything to do with computers, and I don't care. You don't like it? Do your own dang news. DARPA and NASA want the United States to be sending humans on interstellar space missions by 2111, and officials are seeking help in accomplishing that goal. The two agencies today jointly put out a call on Thursday for ideas and abstracts for possible presentation at the 100-Year Starship Study Symposium, which is set to be held in Orlando, Florida, September 30th through October 2nd. And I really, really want to be there. The project pairs up the United States Department of Defense's research arm, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, like we're going to be fooled by the word defense in the beginning. Anyway, DARPA.
They put that in there so you'll forget about it later.
Right. With NASA's Ames Research Center. With DARPA footing the bill, the two agencies are working to come up with a plan for creating technology that can help humans travel to the stars within 100 years. 100 years is a pretty good period of time to inspire research to go out and tackle problems that would have you asking questions you didn't even know to ask at the beginning, said David Nayland, director of the Tactical Technology Office for DARPA. The investment must have a long-term goal and ancillary benefits to the government and NASA. The overall effort kicked off last year and continued in January with DARPA-hosted workshop in the Bay Area that featured an eclectic mix of sci-fi authors, physicists, educators, and biologists discussing why humans should travel to the stars. It's really too bad Steve's not here for this. He'd be bringing up fallen angels and all the other stories.
He did a lot of trivia.
Yeah. The group also talked about the physics of interstellar travel and who should go on such a long and perilous trip. We want to capture the imagination of folks who might not be thinking of coming into research and development, said Nayland. He was adamant in contending that technology developed as a result of this project would likely reap great benefits for the U.S. military as well as the population as a whole. We want to feed research and development to create technology to use in building starships that would also have ancillary payoffs, Nayland said. Clearly, a starship would have to be energy neutral. It's not going to be able to stop off at a gas station on the way. That kind of research could benefit us now. He also cited technologies that could be used to produce food, water, and oxygen in outer space. The papers can focus on several subjects, such as time and space manipulation, near speed of light navigation, interstellar communication, the religious implications of finding life on other planets, creating medical facilities in space, and what items should be taken on starships. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is do you have ideas for interstellar space travel? And the choices are yes, lots. No, not so much. No, not since the 60s, man. And hold on, I didn't vote, so I don't know how many people are here. Oh, yeah, 34 votes so far.
All right.
And, of course, not since the 60s, man, is the is the winning vote so far. And then if you take a – now, you're going to have a lot more to say, and I know this. I know you people. Believe me, I know you people. You're going to have a whole lot more to say about this. So if you go look at the little yellow box underneath and click on Give Us Your Opinion, it will take you to another fascinating and exciting website where you can, in fact, enter your opinion. Exactly. And some of your opinions take way more than 255 characters. Way more. And then, of course, you can come back.
They're not opinions or testimonials.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, you can come back and join us here. So that's great. We're here on the air. You can get us live streaming at jazz901.org. You can join in the conversation on IRC chat, either from our web page or directly at EFNet, Octothorpe Soundbites. Tomorrow night will be in Second Life. I want to apologize to everybody for last week. I simply completely fugued out. I was sitting with my daughter watching the Tonys, and suddenly at 10:30, I went, oh, dang.
Well, we also have to remind folks, you can also text us. Something else Rob just recently set up, and you can text us at 585-209-9010. If you have a question and don't want to be up on the air, say you're out somewhere and you're listening to us and just have a particular question, text us. We'll get to your answer, you know, while you're out jogging or whatever you're doing.
That's exactly right. So I'll tell you what, I'm kind of fascinated by the whole idea of interstellar space travel myself, and I think it would be a lot of fun, frankly.
A lot of training, for sure, to get involved in something like that.
Well, and that's an interesting problem, isn't it? Because if you're going to do interstellar space travel, you really need a whole lot more than just scientists and military people. You need folks, you know, and they may not be
born yet.
Well, they may not be born yet, first of all, because it's not going to happen for 100 years. You're absolutely right. But equally importantly, they may not have that skill or that ability.
Right.
And so it's an interesting little problem, and it's an interesting thing to deal with. And we'll see what we end up with. It should be pretty fun. I will be following that personally a lot. And if any of you have any questions, because our question to you is the same. What is your idea for space travel? Please give us a call.
Right.
585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free, 1-800-790-0415. The lines are lighting up, so please, if you're on the line, please be very patient. We'll get to you as soon as we can, but we're going to take our first call from our friend Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Sorry I haven't been around, but Mom seems to do things at noon all the time. But
I understand that.
I got one quick question, then one for Steve. What do you think of Internet Explorer 9? My laptop automatically downloaded it, and now I'm kind of, you know, because some websites only open up on that one. What do you think of it?
It's okay. It's certainly better than most of the other versions have been.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So use it for the websites that absolutely require it, and then use Firefox or Chrome for everything else.
Okay, this one's for Steve. Steve, I've got a shuffle, and I made playlists. I made separate playlists with names on it. But when I go to do the voiceover, the playlist, it says playlist 1, 2, and 3. It doesn't give the name of it. What have I done wrong?
Oh, well, Steve's not here this week. My name's Dennis. I'll be glad to help you
out.
No problem. So when you said when you made those playlists, you gave them all a name, and one of Apple's new features is that they attempt to speak the name to you. The iPod Shuffle doesn't have any buttons, per se.
For some reason, it's not. It's calling it playlist 1, 2, 3, and 4. I never know which one I've got.
Right.
Well, that would definitely be confusing. The first thing I would do is I would try and make a quick note of what songs you've got in each playlist. I'd try and rebuild those if you can. Otherwise, I'd try restoring that iPod to its appropriate firmware.
Okay.
And, you know, Apple calls this like the 5 R's, and there's like restore your iPod to its firmware, restart the computer, and you try them kind of in order. And we'll see if we can get you the URL for that procedure. But in general, if you do a full restart of the iPod and then resync it and it still doesn't work, and you've tried restarting your computer and syncing it and it still doesn't work, then it might be time to plug in your iPod and choose the restore button in iTunes.
I got the shuffle because at work, you know, I was using my iTouch at work, and I accidentally almost dropped it one time, and I go, nope. So I went out and bought the shuffle, and I put on what I want because it can clip to my pocket.
Right.
And now I feel more secure. But, you know, I don't have a lot of time to play with it when I'm at work. I just want to be able to hear the playlist and then play it.
Right. Right. No, for sure, yeah. And I think if you do a restore, that will definitely help. And if not, doesn't, give us a call back.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye.
Yeah, the Shuffle's a neat little toy, really is. I mean,
they revised it a bunch of different times. It's always been a flash-based player, and it used to look like a stick of gum and maybe three times as thick. And they've brought it and made it even smaller. At one point, they made it about the size of a piece of Trident.
Yeah, right.
Which was tiny, almost just big enough to plug the headphones into. And they moved the button to the cord of the headphones, of all places. And they've recently gone back a half a step and added some buttons back to it. And it's a neat little device. Not, it's pretty affordable considering Apple's other options. But
what I really like is there's somebody who made a watch band for it.
Oh, yeah. That's really cool.
That's really cool. All right. Our next caller is Phil from Pottstown, PA. Welcome, Phil. What's your question?
It's not Phil. That's Carl.
Huh? It is Carl. You're absolutely right.
I even spell it right.
You did.
I'm here to read it, folks. It was right.
You're absolutely right. I'm the one who needs to adjust his meds today. I apologize, Carl. What's your question? Carl?
I have a resume question for you.
Sure.
My resume was written about 20 years ago, typed on an old-fashioned typewriter. And I need to make some revisions to it in case I need another job one of these days. So I took the typewritten resume, put it on the flatbed scanner, scanned it in using OCR software so that I could edit it. I tried to edit it, and it didn't go very well. I'm having formatting problems.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise us.
Yeah. It's almost to the point, you know what? It's easier just to go ahead and retype it.
Yeah.
All the effort that you're putting into it, the scanning and trying to get it in and trying to have it recognize certain words and all this other stuff, you could probably have it typed six times over already.
Now, OCR has gotten a lot better, you know, yes, recently. But even if it's 99.9%, it's still going to mess up one character in 1,000. And if your resume is 3,000 or 4,000 characters long, then you're going to have a bunch of errors to go hunt and try and find. And formatting problems
are
big deal. If you can scan it and put it in a text-only format and then copy and paste it into Word or whatever other app you're using for your resume, that's usually a better approach. And that way you can redo the formatting yourself in Word.
So you would suggest Word?
Word's a good choice. It's usually the choice that a lot of recruiters or other agencies, or if anybody's taking your resume online, that's kind of the lingua franca of what those
right.
folks
read,
like to
read
see.
Carefully what they like. A lot of them like Word. A lot of them like PDFs.
Right.
Okay, because I was probably doing it the wrong way. I was doing it in WordPad, and that didn't work.
Oh, no, that's really not going to work.
Yeah, your formatting options are really limited in WordPad. You get tab stops, and I'm not sure you get much else, to be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, no, I mean...
I would suggest, if you have Word, use Word.
Or, yeah,
OpenOffice.
You don't, OpenOffice or LibreOffice, which is really the same product.
And if you're looking for a job, you don't want to blow a lot of cash on a word processor just to do a resume.
Right, OpenOffice is free.
Yep.
And I do have OpenOffice.
There you go. And you can use OpenOffice Writer and save it in Word format. And, of course, OpenOffice has the export to PDF built in.
Right. And when they get it at the other end and you've saved it in the Word document format.
They don't care.
They can't tell the difference.
They can't tell the difference. I'm on a Linux machine at work, and I'm like the only one. So when I'm moving data back and forth
especially
with other
RTF,
people, they don't
RTF,
know.
RTF, you know, if they're doing it in Word, reading it in WordPerfect, Word, or whatever,
right.
RTF comes in and
I just do it as a doc file or an XLX, an XLSX, or whatever, DocX, whatever, and it works perfectly. The only problem I have is fonts.
The four choices that my OCR software gives me to save as a format are PDF, XLF, TXT, and HTM.
Yeah, I'd go straight for that TXT.
Just
it's hard to go wrong with that.
Okay.
You're going to do a lot of shuffling and formatting, but it's a little bit less than typing it all out brand new.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it might be a little bit easier, but I'm still...
Apparently it's not, no. All right?
Well, thank you very much for your advice.
Good luck, and I hope you never need it.
Okay.
Good luck.
We're seeing a lot of people who are sending out more and more resumes.
It's true. I helped a client not long ago who hadn't been in the job market for a while and had a paper resume but didn't have it in an electronic format.
Right,
So I helped her find somebody who could turn that into a great product, and he turned it around essentially overnight, which was great. He didn't charge an awful lot either. So
nice.
There are lots of people that are willing to make, you know, not that much money and get it back to you really fast.
What?
I got to tell a story.
Here we go.
You know... I'm trying to do this delicately. Well, as you know, I had an occasion I had to stop at the hospital. And, you know, while I was previously over at Strong, they are going over to what they call these e-records.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an
EMRs.
Hold on, I gotta get. I'll be back to you in a moment.
Dave is answering the phone. We have another caller at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or of course toll free at 1-800-790-0415. That's 1-800-799-0415.
So, anyways, they're doing this, this over at Highland, switching over to eRecords, and I happen to notice they're setting it all up on Windows XP.
Still?
So they have what they call the shirts running around, and it's all these folks in yellow shirts. So I asked her, I said, "Excuse me."
Keep talking.
Yeah. So I says, the shirts are walking around. I says, I got a question for you.
Keep talking.
The shirts are running around, and I said, wait a minute. XP is going out of business. Why are you doing it on XP? I says, is it going to work on Windows 7? Oh, yeah. So I'm thinking, here, wait a minute. They're setting up all this stuff to work on XP right now. They'll get everybody trained on these XP machines. Now give it a couple more years. Gee, guess what they're going to have to do? Come around and replace all these terminals.
More money.
More money.
More money.
Exactly right.
I'm thinking, this is a cool racket to get into, that you put something in, you sell them this build stuff. And
it's unstable. It's mature. We know what to expect, right?
Yeah, but the thing of it is, it's going out of business. And Windows 7 is already here, and oh, yes, it will work on it. Then why aren't you putting it on it?
I don't know. There must be something to it we don't know.
Why aren't you putting it on it now so that a few years down the road, you don't have to go to the customer? Well, now it's time that we got to upgrade you, so you got to buy all new hardware. And guess who's going to that affect?
Yeah, it's everybody.
Us. Thank you.
Right.
Yep. It's true.
It's true.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think I've got the video stream up on the air at Ustream.
There we go. We're on Ustream as well.
So give us a chance to hear from you and let us know if we've done it right. I'm sitting in for Steve and trying to learn as much as I can, as fast as I can here.
Yep. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Sound Bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
So, yeah, just to wrap up that, though.
Your EMR?
Yeah, I just can't get over that, somebody isn't there, because quite obviously, this is going to be an issue, maybe not right now, but down the road. But again, that it's going to be more dollars that's going to have to come, out of...
It's got to come from somewhere, right?
Yeah, and, you sit in the ERs and that and everything else right now. Folks are overworked, and, the cost of insurances and everything else go up. Yes, technology is great. As a matter of fact, the U of R just said they had something come out, a breakthrough through multiple sclerosis last night. Groundbreaking. Medicine. So, I'm all for that. But to sit there and put something in place and then in a few years you're going to have to turn around and upgrade it again.
There must be something more to it than we understand.
I guess, but it just bugs me.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me rant a little.
That's right. I have to thank our friends at Verizon Wireless. Loaned me a toy to play with for a couple of days.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's the thing you put over there.
Hold it up for the camera there.
It's a 4G MiFi hotspot. Connect 5-6 people at once.
You get all 4Gs with that?
You get all 4Gs with
nice.
That. I just tested it.
Yeah.
This is a 4G connection. I am getting 13.94 megabytes upload speeds.
What? In other words, we could tie into this too?
And 93.36 megabytes down.
All right. Now, what would I expect to pay for something like this?
I have no idea at this point. I have
Your
no
friends
idea.
At Verizon.
They loaned it to me. I have to give it back on Monday, okay?
Dude, that is holy
mother of pearl.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't kidding. Because this is quite astonishing.
Could they let us borrow it? Each Saturday?
Yeah, every Saturday. So
we'll
we can
just pick it up.
I am absolutely astounded at this. At home, I wasn't getting near this, but I believe that, I'm in the shadow of Pinnacle Hill, and I don't get good wireless no matter what I do.
Yeah. Well, that's also the issue for a lot of folks, though, say that can't get DSL or Roadrunner in their area because they're way out in the boonies.
Yeah, my parents are a perfect example of that. They live out in near Potsdam.
To be able to get something like this and have it so anybody in the house can get onto online?
Yeah, it's true.
And at those speeds?
Or, yep.
Holy mother of pearl.
Or 93 megabits per second. Yeah. I don't know how you beat that.
Uh-uh.
So that means you could finally do your Netflix streaming. Your kids can play on the Xbox Live and use their Wii.
Well, listen, I mean, what do you get? You get people are talking about, I can, on my cable modem, I can do bursts to 20. Okay.
Well, yeah, for
so
like
I'm doing
a minute.
Five times that constantly.
Right. And as long as you're not paying five times more. Well, plus, the thing that you have to keep in mind is that you can put this in your shirt pocket, and you've got this bubble of really fast Wi-Fi that follows you
exactly.
Wherever you are.
Now, you can also lock it down?
Well, you can't just connect. You have to know the password.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yep.
It comes that way by default, if I remember.
Yep. Right. No, I just, explain to folks,
So you buy this thing and you turn out the battery life is about 4 hours, but you can also buy an adapter to plug it in. So as you're saying,
right.
You could buy this for your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the question is, what are you paying for your data rate? And I don't have any idea of that right at the moment. I didn't look that up this morning.
Yeah, if anybody could look that up for us and call
in. But it's 4G, Verizon 4G. Don't click any of the buttons because I'm connected to it. he's playing with his phone. That's all right. You can play with the phone all you want. 93 megabits per second down. 93.
That's pretty impressive.
Meg down. That's astonishing.
That would be so cool. Sit out on my porch. I mean, I got wireless there.
Yeah.
But, that speed compared to what I get now.
No. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So you set that up. You turn it
there
on. You're going to pay a lot for, you're going to pay, what, 50 bucks a month for that minimum.
Oh, yeah.
Plus
easily.
Data. But in certain areas, when you have no other choice.
Whether it's this or like satellite, which has got to be the worst thing I've ever seen with my own eyes.
Yeah. But this is just astonishing. And certainly for use when you're just out and about.
Yeah.
You know, it's really quite amazing. I was very, very surprised by that.
Yeah,
we'll see if they'll let us borrow it every Saturday.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Well, hey, I mean, it doesn't cost anything to ask.
No, that's true.
That's right.
And, you know.
All right.
More news?
More news.
All right.
Apple's decision to sell the Mac OS X Lion. Here's another reason Steve should be here this week.
Wait a minute.
No, because he's a vendor.
Well, he is a vendor.
This has an impact on vendors.
I'll try and channel Steve.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Apple's decision to sell the Mac OS X Lion upgrade through its own Mac App Store won't hurt the company's bottom line, but will certainly have an impact on traditional retailers.
Like Steve.
The Best Buys, the Staples, the PC Connections, they'll all still have decent Mac software business, said Stephen Baker of retail research firm NPD Group. This will have an impact on all those guys. The release of an OS upgrade is always a good opportunity for them to connect to customers, get them into the store, and thinking about upgrading their devices. And he's absolutely right about that. When you do an upgrade like that, you go in to buy the thing, there's a body in the store that you can upsell.
That's right.
Now that it'll all just happen through the App Store. And with Apple pushing Lion only through its download Mac App Store, those retailers will be out of luck this time around, and likely forever, said Baker. The software business is in the throes of significant changes, and Apple's move is part of that, said Baker. The whole business is clearly changing how operating system developers deliver upgrades. On Monday, Apple announced that it would start selling Lion on the Mac App Store sometime next month for $30. $29.95 for those of you who don't think that's $30. Baker declined to estimate the impact of Apple's decision on U.S. retailers, saying it was impossible to gauge because NPD had no insights into how much revenue the Mac App Store was generating or how customers will react to Lion. But he said that Apple would easily make more money on Lion than it did on its predecessor, 2009 Snow Leopard. That upgrade sold for $30, but because it was a traditional DVD-based box product, Apple didn't bring in as much per unit as it will with Lion as a download-only title.
Sure. Yeah, but they don't have to spend the money pressing the discs or getting them shipped anywhere.
Right. Well, yeah, because it costs about a nickel in packaging. But then they have to pay the store.
Mm-hmm.
The store gets a cut.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So they do lose more money. And particularly this, that utterly minimal packaging that Apple provides.
Yeah, I know. It's
if packaging costs them more than a nickel, they're doing it wrong. Baker wasn't surprised that Apple will use its Mac App Store to sell Lion. The software guys always resented the retail distribution and its physical costs, said Baker. They're used to selling bits and bytes. During the Monday keynote at Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, Philip Schiller, the company's head of marketing, claimed that the Mac App Store was the world's largest seller of personal computer software and was beating Best Buy, Walmart, and Office Depot in that arena. But other factors beyond cutting out the middleman were probably more important to Apple. Other factors such as cutting out the middleman were more important to Apple. So a question to you. Are you looking forward to Lion? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks that Lion brings up is for us Apple guys, especially for those of us who work on Macs. If you're going to install Lion on a brand new empty hard drive,
perfect,
and it's empty, how are you getting to the App Store to go get it?
Well, and that's
or if
just
your hard drive dies and you need to swap a drive and put that in, and you can't clone it from the old drive for whatever reason, then what?
Right.
And Apple hasn't answered that question quite yet. We suspect that certain types of vendors will be able to get it for service purposes, but we don't really know for sure. And the other thing to keep in mind is that the only way you can qualify for Lion is if you're already running Snow Leopard. And most of my clients are running Snow Leopard, but some of them aren't. And the only way to get Snow Leopard is via a disk. So whatever the retailers are going to lose selling Lion, if they're smart, they'll run a promotion where they can get access to the disks and sell them for Snow Leopard now, because that's the only vector to get towards Lion.
Right. Hmm. It is pretty astonishing that they're cutting out. Well,
and another thing.
See, I can say it because I don't sell Apple stuff.
Well, neither do I.
Apple has always hated the retailers. I used to be one, and I know this for a fact.
Well, that's why they started their own stuff.
Right. Always hated their retailers.
Because they had ultimate control over it.
They've always really begrudged them every penny, everything they ever sold them. And I can say that because I'm not one anymore, and they can't hurt me.
Well, it's like you're doing them the honor, or they're doing you the privilege of being able to have their stuff in your store.
That's about right. And It's always been a fight.
But get this. If you're not somebody who has one of these new Verizon boxes that has the fantastic bandwidth, let's say you're on dun-dun-dun dial-up.
Right.
How are you going to get a gigabyte's worth of OS from a Mac App Store?
Well, and then what happens when, and we know it's coming, everybody starts tiering.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Suddenly, rather than buying a CD or DVD with your OS on it, you've got to download a couple of gigs, which is more than your monthly allotment.
Yep. Right. Let alone the updates, the security updates that you know are coming down the pipe.
Well, exactly
times,
right.
Times however
See,
many machines you have.
The whole idea, and I will say this out loud, the whole idea of tiering and the whole idea of
that's scary.
Charging for bandwidth is going to kill a lot of markets. It's just going to kill them.
But here's one, and, you know, hear me now, remember me later. All right. DSL, they can vary their speeds that they can sell you.
Yep.
All right. DSL is stuck with what they can give you. The phone lines are the phone lines.
Yep.
You can't do any better, any worse. So they're smart in not doing tiering.
Right.
From the standpoint that you sit there and say, hey, go ahead, folks. You download as much as you want. Here's still our monthly fee. We're not going to ding you more just because you want to use the internet. Whereas, you know, DSL, you know, they're in these other companies.
You
that's
mean
just,
cable.
Cable. All those other companies, you know, well, we can offer you this package, or this package because of the speeds. You know, you want to go really, really fast, or are you just an email person?
Right.
And they got in between. All these other companies that are going to sit there and start doing the tiering are cutting their own throats because now that's more fuel for DSL
right.
to just say, hey, come to us. We don't have any caps.
That's exactly right.
You know, and they're going to get more.
I have DSL, and the reason I went to DSL is because my particular neighborhood – in the evening when all the kids were online playing online games and stuff, I barely got 400K per second, and it was just horrible. And I went to DSL. I said, "What am I going to get?" And they said, well, we can probably guarantee where you are 4 megabits. Well, that was 10 times what I was, it was 100 times what I was getting.
Yeah.
So I said, sure. And in fact, I get 6. So I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah.
You know, they over-delivered, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. More.
Also, I don't share it with anybody until I get all the way to the central office where the pipe is so huge, I don't care that I'm sharing it. And so I never vary from that number, ever, ever, ever. There's no point at which I get less than what they promised me.
And this is, you know, but you know, going back to, this is where they can gain a lot more by doing less. By sitting back and saying, here we are, come on to us. You know, you want to down all your Netflix, and you know, you got these other songs you want to do and everything else. Go ahead, do it.
Yeah, and I've predicted that if one of the cell phone providers turns around and says we're never gonna tier. It's mm-hmm. always unlimited. It's always a flat rate.
Well,
people are going to flock to them.
Yeah, but unlimited is unlimited. It. I hate to say this, but it kind of depends
well,
on what your, their definition
it, right,
of
right,
unlimited
right, right, right.
is.
Well, look
so
at
if you've got a cap and then suddenly they're billing you at a different rate, if you go over that, then that's
but
a
hello,
different
third
kind of
third world countries, just their basic packages are one hell of a lot faster than what we're paying for right now.
Yeah, exactly we've got all this infrastructure of having that copper under the ground.
Well, and that's fine, but Dave is right. We're a third world country when it comes to
the data.
Yeah.
Data stuff.
I mean, they sit there and look at what we're paying and what we're getting to go. You know, they're just literally smirking at us. And
they do the same thing when they hear about our cell phone plans, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, their cell phone plans are ridiculously cheap as well. Well, you know, our folks say that they can't do it for less. I'm sure they're correct about that.
It's just the bottom line and the stockholders.
Well, exactly. Well, that's certainly part of it, I suppose.
Yeah, but all right, but it's still no. You can't use it as an excuse because here's my premise. And the other companies, you know, old third world countries, they got to be making a decent buck if they can still do, you know, offer what they're offering and still make a profit.
A large part of what I hear, and this part of it is true, but there's more to it. This part of it is true, which is the third world countries that are now ahead of us mm-hmm. in this stuff had no previous infrastructure. So they bought the best at first. They didn't have anything to overcome or whatever.
They're getting a tower. They're putting a solar panel on it to power it.
Right.
So they didn't have to run power
to it. And I do get all that. But even so, they had to pay for their infrastructure, and they did pay for their infrastructure, and they put in the best.
Mm-hmm.
If our people started all over again, paid for their infrastructure, put in their infrastructure, and bought the best, we'd be right where they are. What the problem is, they're trying to nickel and dime it with the current infrastructure.
Yeah. Sure.
Not that that's impossible, but mm-hmm. they're not doing it.
Yeah.
Nobody's committed to it because they're making money, and we're stuck.
Well, and we're trained.
Yeah.
We're trained to pay whatever we pay for text messages or multimedia messages now, and we're used to it, and they're making money hand over fist, so, you know, why change it so fast, guys, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right, and it's too bad, but there you have it. Well, it will change, I think. I think it will change because there continues to be that dichotomy between what we're being charged for cell phone carrier use
uh-huh.
and what people like Google and Apple are telling us to use our phones for.
Yeah,
you know, when they tell us use it for everything, and we go back to them and say, yeah, can't do that because can't afford it.
Yeah, because I got to eat this month.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. But we will be back in just a... Oh, I like this. Let's listen to this for a second.
BD Lens. I play it Thursday nights on my show.
Nice. All right, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And I want to remind you folks, if you are folks are members of Jazz 90.1 or a fan of this great jazz program. Jazz 90.1 has a booth going on at the Xerox Rochester International Jazz Fest.
Cool.
If you stop by there, you can register for some great CDs and DVDs that we are giving away. And if you drop a dollar into our donation box, you can get a free gift. Nice. So, you know, if you get a chance, you know, Jazz Fest is going on. It'll be starting probably within, I think, the next hour. Stop by, register. You could be getting some really good CDs.
Yep. All right. And 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Microsoft today warned that scammers have taken to the phone lines to dupe Windows users into putting malware on their machines or paying for worthless help. The ploy isn't new. Security experts have seen it in circulation for at least a year, but Microsoft was the first to quantify the problem. According to Microsoft, which sponsored surveys in the U.S., the U.K., Ireland, and Canada, 15% of the people polled said they had received unsolicited calls from fraudsters posing as computer support technicians who claimed they were offering PC security checks. The scammers tried to trick users into believing that the computer is infected, often by having them look at Windows logs, which typically show scores of harmless or low-level errors. Because, well, it's Windows.
Yeah.
Then convince them to download software or let the technician remotely access their PC.
You see that problem you got there? I got just the fix for that.
Yeah, well, there's your problem. The con artists charge for their help and often get people to pay for worthless software. In actuality, the software is malware that steals online account information and passwords.
Surprise.
Yep, they're taking advantage of ignorance, said Sean Richmond, a senior technology consultant for Sophos. Of the people who received such calls, 22% fell for the scam, Microsoft said. So 15% of people got the call. 22% of them fell for the scam. Most who were duped suffered some kind of post-call financial loss, which Microsoft claimed averaged $875 per victim. Among the losses, people cited compromised passwords, bulky computers, identity fraud, and cash pilfered from their bank accounts. Criminals have proved once again that their ability to innovate new scams is matched by their ruthless pursuit of our money, said Richard Saunders, the director of one of Microsoft's public relations teams.
Why does he sound like Nixon?
Everybody at Microsoft sounds like Nixon. I don't have a lot of voices I can do, so they're all going to sound like Nixon. Shut up. Although this scam currently targets Windows users, and for now is limited to English-speaking countries, there's nothing to stop criminals from expanding their scheme. Presumably, when these guys smarten up a little, they could pull exactly the same trick on Mac users, said Paul Ducklin, Sophos head of technology
Mac
for its
users.
Asian Pacific division. Well, Mac users are not any smarter than Windows users.
We don't trust Nixon.
We don't trust Nixon, that's true. If they call up and sound like Nixon, I hang up. The demographics for Mac users...
I'm not a crook. Just trying to help you with your computer.
The demographics for Mac users is that they have more money to waste, so I wouldn't doubt that they would become a target, he said. Have you gotten one of those scam calls, give us a call, but don't make it a scam. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free... 1-800-790-0415.
No, I think they just like to see his jaws wiggle around with, you know, his...
Why do you have the two fingers in the air?
Although
like
I will say this, when my daughter was very young, I could do every single Sesame Street character.
Awesome.
And I'd have to work at that to do it again, but I used to do all of them.
I'd pay to see that.
So I used to read her, you know, when we bought the Sesame Street books, I used to do them all. I couldn't do all of the Scooby-Doo characters because I couldn't do the women that well. Most of the monsters are played by men. So
even when they're
Elmo voices, you can do them. It's not that big a deal. All right, we have somebody in the line.
Yes, we do,
and that would be Steve from Rochester, or Phil from somewhere else. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hey, hello. How you doing? Hopefully, you can help me out with this one.
Sure.
I've designed a website using that open source NVU program.
Right
now. The problem I have is it's got quite a lot of pages on it, and the thing is, I use the setting where you got that WYSIWYG feature where you can just put everything in the way you want it to look and then save it. It's
right.
HTML page, all right? Now, I got all these on each page. I have a systematically, like, about four different little JPEG, like, when you put your mouse over that, you'll be able to click to link to a different page within it, so you get to different sections.
Mm-hmm, right.
Now, the problem is that I have is when I open this on a browser and I adjust the view settings, all these things get scrambled all around, unless you're just keeping it at a specific setting where it's so it looks exactly the way I saved it in the NVU program. For some reason, everything gets scrambled all over the page if you adjust it to a lower instead of larger. And I prefer that if you opened it and made it bigger, you just got the scroll bars on the right and the bottom side to move around the entire page. Instead
all right,
of everything
so,
scrambled. How can I lock everything in so that doesn't happen?
Hold on.
You change the settings.
You understand. Well, when you view it normally it looks right.
Right, the way you saved it in the
yeah.
MBU program.
Right.
If I open it on my browser at a certain setting, it's fine. But if I even take on the right side and kind of like close that window in,
yeah,
everything just scrambles together and crunches in, and
right.
everything gets disorganized because I got like icon
like
and text written underneath it that describes basically what's over the icon for clicking for a link, and everything gets scrambled.
All right,
doesn't stay into place. In other words, why don't I just see a little portion of the page, but everything locks solidly the way I saved it? What you're seeing, Steve, is
the way that the HTML was originally designed to work. It's designed to flow within the window because it was originally designed just for text on a page, and if you made the text bigger, the text would flow so you could still read it. What you want is something entirely different, and you have to... It's not something I can explain fully here over the phone.
Cool.
It is not impossible to do. It's just not...
It's beyond the scope of this
program
here. Well, NVU will do it, but you don't do it in the WYSIWYG. You kind of have to do it from the actual HTML side.
You need CSS layouts to do that.
Right. NVU is originally designed to make fairly simple web pages, and what you're asking it to do is beyond its scope. You'd need to create a CSS system that would let that happen, and I'm afraid that's past what I can tell you about here. But I know there are user groups in town that do web stuff. So there's a web subgroup for Cider?
No, there isn't presently. We're working on putting a bunch of different special interest groups together, and if we had a lot of people that were interested in that, we could definitely do that. Apple's getting ready, rumored to discontinue their iWeb program, so we think that they're maybe fewer.
That's what you're looking though for. You might be able to do a Google search here in Rochester for a SIG.
Yep.
On web based, and SIG stands for Special Interest Group.
Right.
So if you do a Google search on a SIGs for web design, maybe you'll find some other groups that are not that popular that we're aware of,
yep.
but get together, and just throw ideas around.
There's also a group called the AIGA, the American Institute of Graphic Artists, I believe, or something similar to that. I hope I didn't butcher that too badly. That would probably be very likely to have a group that's dedicated solely to the web. But specifically, I think you want to look for a tutorial on something called Cascading Style Sheets, CSS. That's used to control the layout of how things appear on the page. And when you do that, you can affix certain things to certain positions on the page. Whether the browser is zoomed in or zoomed out, things will appear more closely to where you had intended.
Well, thank you, because you just helped me. I got a book out of the library on CSS,
yep.
and that is the right direction. I got several books. I'm trying to figure out where the heck to
Great.
Go. Thank you for pointing me in the right direction.
Sure. Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate that.
There you go. Good luck.
All right.
And let us know when the website's done.
Oh, it's already done. It's just got that problem with it. I want to adjust the whole darn
right.
thing.
Right.
All right, thank you very much.
All
Have
right.
a good day.
Thanks, Steve. That is one of the problems with simple programs. NVU will do a lot of really good stuff, but when you get to some of the really higher-end stuff,
yeah.
I thought NVU had a CSS editor in it.
I think it does, but you still need to know what you're looking at when you're editing. And a good tutorial or a good book to have in front of you as a resource can be invaluable in that case. Otherwise, it just looks like gibberish.
Right. I was just looking up NVU.
Okay.
Didn't we just talk to Steve from Rochester?
There's another Steve from Rochester. There's more than one Steve that lives actually in Rochester.
Do not tell me that. That cannot be true.
Let's find out.
It's true.
Holy cow. What can we do for
great
you, Steve?
Great show, guys.
Thanks.
Love it. I've subscribed to an online guitar teaching
right.
Ooh, which one?
It's Jimmy Bruno.
Okay. Okay.
Hmm.
And the streaming video starts, it burps a lot. And it's a common problem because at the forum on the site, there are other people having the same problem. I'm running.
I got it. I got it. Perfect.
On my MacBook Pro, and I'm using Firefox 4. And the teaching videos it and stop. They don't keep running. And then I tried it on Safari, and it didn't work on Safari either. So I don't know if there's anything I can do at my end, or I guess they're looking into it at their end, but so far I didn't know whether
anything had any issues. Everybody's having this problem. If everybody's having this problem, it's not your problem.
But I got a good solution for him. I also, Steve, I'm taking up guitar. And what I found is, because I like listening to them too, there's a program called VHS, I think it is, that you can attach into your browser. And what it does,
VLC,
thank you.
Yeah.
And what you can do is capture that, even though it's broken up, you can start capturing the video and download it and save it. And then I save it to a file. Now...
Well, that's assuming it will complete. But what he said,
it has for me. I've had a bunch of them that don't.
Are you on the same Bruno page that he is?
One very similar to it.
Well, but
I've done four different bass guitar sites.
Try that. Certainly try that, Steve. And if it works, you win. But what it sounds like is the problem is at the other end.
Oh, okay.
And you might want to try one of the other guitar teaching sites, as Dave has said, he's tried four of them.
Yeah.
And one of the others may well allow you to finish viewing the entire thing.
The only reason
I already paid for a whole year for this site, and so I'm sort of committed.
But the only advantage of saving it to your desktop, Steve, is say you want to go back to that lesson and you're bringing out certain points that you wanted to, you can stop the video. That's what I like is I paid for this one also, and I capture it, and I've got them in a folder. So I grab down the video, and I can play the video. So if he's going through a certain set of, say, fret strings, I can play him slowly, stop it at my discretion, go ahead and practice that, and then continue.
Yep.
Okay.
The other thing to do is make sure you've got your flashes
up. Are there any legal ramifications if I go ahead and download that and save it as a file on my computer? Would I have any problems?
I was about to say that. We really can't suggest that you do that, Steve.
Okay.
Because we don't know what the legal ramifications are.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we really cannot, and we do not, suggest that you do that.
Right.
I understand. Yeah. What the name of that program is? VLC.
Video LAN Client. Yep. If you type in VLC into Google, it'll definitely be the first hit.
Another one that, if you're just getting into it, I love is a Songster. Songster is a website that you can go to and put in a particular music. And you can print out the music and select the instrument that you're playing, and they'll give it to you in tab form.
Wow.
And they even, as a matter of fact, I suggested it to them, and they put it on, was up at the top of the song. They'll put in, because they have a metronome in it, but the thing wasn't keeping track. You couldn't tell what speed it was. And I says, couldn't you put that on the song? He goes, well, why? So I know what speed to play it at. He goes, good point. They implemented it, so now at the top it'll tell you, say, 80 beats per minute.
So,
check that one out, too. It's really a cool program that you can print it out and, like I say, have full control again.
There's another app that just came out for the Mac that actually won an Apple Design Award this year called Capo, C-A-P-O. And you can use it to play back the music, and you can adjust the speed that it plays back without adjusting the pitch. So if there's a specific fingering that you want to try and find, much like what Dave was talking about, you can play it over and over again. You can also pick a portion of the song and just have it loop over and over and over. And
that where do you get the songs from?
Just whatever songs you happen to have.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Regular MP3 files.
Yeah, you can just play them over and over again. It's free to try it. It's $40 if you like it, which I think if you need to listen to a song a few dozen times, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And that's brand new, Capo.
Heaven knows, Capo.
I'm sorry. My mistake.
No. Well, I always pronounce it Capo. What do I know? But C-A-P-O.
Right.
That's got to be a lot better than what I used to do, which is pop the needle back, pop the needle back, over and over and over.
DJ Nick, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're doing six string or what?
Six string, yeah.
Okay.
I've been playing for quite a few years, and I got onto this guy, Jimmy Bruno, is from New York. New Jersey, actually, and he used to be with Artist Works, which was there's a couple of very prominent teachers that are doing the same thing on their site. This guy broke away from them, because about the money and stuff, But he's got a pretty good. He's just starting to get it together and put his own site together, and it's really pretty good.
Okay, excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We have to take a break, but you can still give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Because although you have now wasted an hour of your life listening to sound bites, there's a whole nother hour to go. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and we are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, right here on the wonderful, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. You know, as soon as the new concerns that cell phones might pose a radiation risk to users came out, scammers were sharpening their online skills to take advantage of the situation. That's why the Federal Trade Commission on Thursday told cell phone users to avoid products that supposedly shield users from cell phone emissions. According to the FTC, there is no scientific proof that so-called shields significantly reduce exposure from cell phone emissions. In fact, products that block only part of the phone, such as the earpiece, are totally ineffective because the entire phone emits electromagnetic waves. By interfering with the phone's signal, phony shields may cause it to draw even more power, trying to get a good signal and possibly emit more radiation, the FTC said. Health studies about any relationship between the emissions from cell phones and health problems are ongoing. But for those consumers who want to limit their exposure to cell phone emissions, the FTC offers these tips. Use an earpiece or the speakerphone feature. Consider texting more and keeping calls brief. Wait for a good signal. When you have a weak signal, your phone works harder and emits more radiation. Phones emit more radiation when transmitting than when receiving, so tilt the phone away from your head when you're talking. Before you buy a phone, research its specific absorption rate, or SAR, which tells how much radiation the body absorbs while using the phone. Different phones emit different amounts of radiation. In the U.S., a phone's SAR cannot exceed 1.6 watts per kilogram. The Federal Communications Commission has SAR information for cell phones produced and marketed within the last 2 years. It's accessible using the phone's FCC ID number, which is usually found on the phone's case, and the FCC's ID search form. Worried about phone radiation? What are you doing about it? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free, 1-800-790-0415, just like Mike did all the way from distant Bristol, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hey, nice to be on board, guys. Picked up your show this morning and had a quick observations. Number one, you were talking about that Verizon hotspot.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't have the independent one, but I've got it in a Thunderbolt that I'm testing out.
Yep.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You're right. The speed is outstanding in the Bristol Hills.
Sure.
On a 3G system, it's fantastic. Six times the speed of my DSL that comes to the house, which with all that copper is about as slow as can be.
Right.
Yep. Well, you know what, Mike? I agree with you. I had a Thunderbolt to play with for a while, and it was my first experience with 4G, and my jaw dropped. I mean, we hear about how fast it is, but until you've had a chance to actually play with it, you don't get it.
It's been great. I mean, the experience with being able to use my laptop via this hotspot is fantastic. I've done a speed test. I see the differences. I've got up to a 6 times improvement by going to the hotspot, which is good for what it is. I go to the office, which is in Victor, and There I've got about a 3x improvement, but now I'm going from a 5 meg DSL line to a 15 meg over the hotspot.
Right.
And yet, what I found out that's interesting that might be of interest to you, maybe you know, maybe you don't, is that I can run this Thunderbolt on 3G and talk and surf simultaneous.
Yep. Right.
Yep. And that's the big advantage of 4G.
No, it lets 3G.
On 3G. Oh, yeah. Because it's a different type of radio. It's a different setup inside the phone. Absolutely.
Yeah, they've got a setup for it. Whatever their variation is in their software that they published, Verizon's not pumping it up maybe because they don't want to push it against their 4G. But I'm beside myself. I'm running in the country out here. I'm running 5 different video loops simultaneously just to test it and see how well I can do. And I've got the phone open all the time having a conversation.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's cool.
The new phones, with or without 4G, are astonishing, but with 4G, they're just truly amazing.
Now, I've got a technical question for you.
You've called the right place.
All maybe. Right. Now, with this speed, all this is fantastic. Great upload, great download, but I got a ping issue. Talking to the company IT guy, we're trying to keep a VPN open when I'm working on files for the work purposes. And the ping rate when I'm running on DSL is running in around 60 ms. When I go to the hotspot, the ping rate jumps up to more like 150 to 215, which isn't enough to keep the VPN satisfied.
Yeah, just for our listeners, we'll say that the ping rate is how fast you can get a message out to the rest of the world and have it respond back to you. And different types of connections are faster than others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this unique to this hotspot technology, that this ping rate slows down?
No, it's likely unique to where you are, and here's why. When you're on your DSL line, things go through a different path than they do when you're on your hotspot. And what's likely happening is you're going through more hops on your hotspot. More hops on your hotspot, and each one is probably a little slower than the number of hops you're going through on your DSL line. And that's what slows it down.
Okay, so the ability to get information and give it back for sending documents or streaming on the Internet, no issues. But if I want to keep a VPN open and try and work files, keep things synced, then I'm going to get into trouble. So that'll be the one drawback.
Well, yes. They probably can tweak the VPN at their end to wait a little longer before timeout.
Yeah, to not be quite so strict.
And if they
ask that question,
right, and they should be able to do that. And if they're willing to do that, I think you're in good shape.
Well, it's worth a try. Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Well, sure.
Good luck.
All right. Good talking with you.
Good talking to you. That is one of the problems with things like VPN. The vanilla installation is pretty strict on what it allows.
Right.
You generally may have to tweak it, particularly nowadays with all the... We're looking at virtualizing all our desktops at work.
Right.
And
you got to have fast network for that.
We have a very fast network. That's not the problem. But we're also looking at a BYOD situation. Bring your own device.
Okay.
You know,
good
and
luck.
Exactly. That opens up a lot. Well, that's probably not going to happen. Certainly not going to be part of the test
nice
at first.
Annoyed sigh at that one.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that. But what that brought up in the seminar that I was at was that when people do things like VPN and when people do things like remote access of virtual systems,
right.
It has a lot to do with what they have at home.
Yeah.
And we can't control that. As a business, we can't control that. They really, if they want to do work at home and they don't have the ability to do that well, there's nothing we can do about that.
Well, all you can do is make them live at work.
Exactly.
unless
not that my dean wouldn't mind that for some of us, but...
I know right where he is.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, if there's only so much you can control as an IT department, and that's when you have to make sure management's on board.
Exactly.
So you can deliver what you need to.
Exactly. All right, our next caller is Victor from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Hello. My email program is Incredit Mail, and every time I want to click on a link to send it, I click on it, and it goes right to Incredit Mail, and I send it. Now, when I make a document in Microsoft Word, I want to send it, and it goes right to Outlook Express. Is there any way to change it to so that when I click on send, it'll go to
IncrediMail.
IncrediMail.
Good question.
Yeah.
We're furiously typing to see what we can learn about that.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a setting inside Word that it might be in a...
By Microsoft, because they want you only using... Oh,
yeah, it is.
Shocker forbid, use something else.
I don't have Windows in front of me, but I think you can change the default mail program in their preferences.
Yeah, wouldn't it be under control settings? I'm trying to think.
Do you know what version of Word it is by chance? We're all furiously Googling, saying, no, we can totally figure this out.
Yeah, no, I'm looking here. yes, under, I believe it is
Dave's
system.
Dave's got the Windows machine.
System under advanced. No.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Yeah, I know.
Internet Explorer, tools, internet options, go to programs, make sure Microsoft Office Outlook or Microsoft Outlook is selected under email. And then just have him change that to IncrediMail?
Internet options. Under Internet options, there's programs. And it says Internet options. You can specify which program Windows automatically uses for your internet service. Now, what you can do is in the Internet options, there's a tab there that says programs. And one of the tabs that you can pull down is email.
Uh-huh.
And the IncrediMail should be in there. By default, and if nothing is put in there, it defaults to Outlook. So check and see if your IncrediMail is in there. If not, I don't know what to tell you other than that.
Okay, I'll do that when I'm in the expressway now, but I'll do that when I get home.
Yep, yeah. Start Internet Explorer. Go to the Tools menu, pick Internet Options, then the Programs tab, and then hit the email section and see if IncrediMail is listed.
Okay, I will when I get home. Thank you very much.
All right, good luck. Let us know how you make out on that, please.
I will do that.
All right.
Thank you, Victor.
Thanks. Bye. That's...
Googling, everyone.
Speed Googling. one of the things that we actually had somebody suggest in one of our sessions on classroom, cool things in the classroom,
uh-huh.
is to designate a different student each week as the Google jockey to look stuff up. And then he or she not only has to tell us what they found if there's a question that we can't answer, but why they believe it's right.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not just about looking things up on Google, because God knows.
Yeah.
And this may come as a shock to you. Those of you who are driving, please slow down before I say this. Not everything on the internet is 100% accurate.
What?
I know. That's why I asked those people driving to slow
down.
You're
saying that and you didn't give me a chance to grab my chair?
Yeah, you got
to
sit down.
Well, that's right. I apologize.
You get a little weak in the knees now.
I understand that. But
I'm tipping.
So not only does that person.
But Wikipedia told me.
Yeah.
Exactly. But so that person of the week not only gets to be the Google jockey, but also gets to defend his or her findings.
This is where now having this computer in front of me is kind of handy. That I can sit there and help you guys look at some stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Up
nice.
All right. Our next caller is Joe from Buffalo. Hiya, Joe. What do you know?
Hiya. Actually, it's Cheektowaga, but that's tough for Dave to write.
Oh, I can put in Cheektowaga.
The question is, can we read it?
Yeah. It's great trying to write out Cheektowaga.
Anyway, you were talking before about the caps that the internet providers want to put on our broadband. Right. Oh, fun, wow. I actually read recently on DSLReports.com that Time Warner is thinking about doing that again, despite the backlash in 2009.
Right.
Of course they are.
They're always considering it.
Yeah, think about this a second, though. They have this nice little video distribution business over their cable that cost me, let's see, I think it's around $70 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I get all my stuff through Netflix and Hulu Plus and, services like that, what's to prevent me of just saying, oh, Time Warner, I don't need this anymore. Give me just Roadrunner or...
Well,
going
and that's
over
their
to,
point.
Verizon and saying, "Oh, please give me Fios."
Exactly. Well, you're not going to get Fios in Rochester. You can get Fios over in Cheektowaga. I hate you.
Yeah.
shake our fist at you.
The other thing you were saying, though, is these countries they get new infrastructure, which is true, but to a large extent, they have a higher population density too. We're a very spread out nation, and it costs a mint. To bring things like out to the middle of Montana.
I absolutely agree.
The unfortunate truth.
I absolutely agree. And that's part of the problem, absolutely. But there's certainly no excuse for in the denser cities,
yes,
not to upgrade their infrastructure.
But what the heck? You know, services like FedEx, DHL, UPS, they charge more money to bring things farther, don't they?
Yes.
Well, you know, maybe the phone companies have to rethink their revenue model, and instead of charging everybody 15 cents or a quarter to send an SMS, maybe a sliding scale depending on where you're sending it. You're sending it to, you know, the middle of Iowa or Montana or something, you know, maybe you charge a little bit more. You pay to send it from somebody in Cheektowaga to Depew, maybe it's only a nickel.
So you want, like, long-distance data instead of long-distance calling like we had in the 80s and 90s.
Well, yeah, the real problem with that, well...
I'm just thinking, you know, you got to subsidize it in the proper way. You can't just, like, go piling it on everybody. Or, you know, at least make it more reasonable. I mean, that's a, you know, it can't cost them more than about a nickel to split all these messages around.
Oh,
and
much
then they
less.
End up charging both the sender and the recipient.
Right.
Well, because you'll
pay. And they're
double-dipping
as it is, and then they want to charge you more, and they'll probably want to double-dip that. I have a lot of trouble...
But that's kind of how capitalism works, right?
Right, but I have a lot of trouble reconciling that infrastructure grouping. But it is what it is, and God bless them. I'm sure they're a lot smarter than I am and know how much money they have to make to keep their stockholders happy. Because don't forget, people say, you know, what can you do? We're the customer. We have rights. No, we aren't. When you are a publicly traded company, when you are a publicly traded company, your customer is the shareholder. Mm-hmm. Everything else is product you deliver
Very
to that
true.
Shareholder. So they care a lot less about what we think than they care about what their shareholders think, and their shareholders think they're not making enough money. And that's the bottom line. That is how it works. And if you don't like it, then you got to find a not publicly traded internet provider. That's really all there is
yep.
to it.
Yeah, private.
Oh, well, one of the big problems with that, though, you look around
many.
The country at municipal fiber efforts where...
They're fighting those left and right.
What's that?
They're fighting those left and right.
Oh, yeah, they'll go and lobby the lawmakers to make it actually illegal to put in yep. municipal fiber, for example.
Well, have you got your phone on?
Yeah,
turn your radio down, please. No wonder I'm hearing an echo. you can hear us actually through the phone. It's a new technology that
it really works.
Alexander Graham Bell invented.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I've had long talks with some very, very high up people at Google, and they admit the same thing. They're always telling us, use us for everything. And I'm always telling them, won't be able to afford it very soon because it's not, it's going to be tiered. It's not all you can eat anymore. And they're all going, yeah, we know, but we don't know what to do about it. Now, Google did wire an entire town, which...
Kansas City.
An entire city, which wasn't Rochester, and I berate them for that every time I talk to them. Is that a proof of concept that they can do it? I don't know what they're thinking, but it's going to be people like Google and Apple who really come out with a solution to this problem because they want us to use their data. Going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And he's so proud of it.
Yeah.
And 23 minutes after
Wouldn't
the hour.
Be?
We are. So I'm very proud that you're here, standing in for Steve, who, as you may have guessed, is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest.
Again.
We frantically called Dennis to come and take his place.
No problem.
Dennis and I are going to be working on a couple of seminary things.
yeah, that'd be great. So, I woke up in a tent this morning and saw the bat signal in the sky last night.
Exactly it.
And knew that it was time to come down.
Oh, I do have to do one thing. My partner, Dan, folks,
yes.
For you younger ladies out there, I hate to say it, but he's getting married today. So I got to say congratulations to Dan, and I wish him all the best.
I'm sure what he's doing right now is listening to this show.
Well, he better be.
At 2 o'clock.
Damn well better be.
Yeah. He'll catch the podcast later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he's got nothing better to do later after mm-hmm. this.
So what you're saying is it's probably too late to tell him to run.
typical thing, and you see him when they're kneeling, you know. And
you're right.
Help.
Yeah, right.
And the bottom of
his shoes help me. Yeah.
Well, good for him.
That's good for him.
Congratulations to both him and Bonnie.
Yeah.
Well, but unfortunately, that means you're actually going to have to work for the next 2 weeks.
I know it.
Dan, you know,
that is going to suck.
Dave did a really smart thing. Dave took on Dan as his partner.
Yeah, and that's
in the business. So now it's Enright and Deary PC.
Yeah.
Not that anybody can spell Deary, but so look up Enright.
Yeah, that is the cool thing. Dari?
Dari?
Yeah, they don't have, they don't know how to pronounce it.
He spells it with way too many vowels and not enough consonants.
It's D-E-I-U-R-E.
Right.
Deary.
Pronounced Deary.
You know what? I still don't know if it's French or...
Yeah, I don't know.
But
here's the thing.
I'll have to ask.
Since he's hired Dan, Dan's really, you know, done all the work. Dan and Sam really do all the work in the place, and Dave just struts around as
the
elder statesman.
I'm the bean counter now. I'm the bean counter.
He's just the elder statesman.
Looks around, but this sips week, his coffee.
See, I hope that Dan
this is where
everything.
The privilege of being older versus younger.
Senior partner.
Yes.
There you go.
That's right. And by senior, we mean decrepit. But I hope Dan labeled everything for you. Dave, this is a screwdriver.
Righty tighty.
Lefty.
He did.
All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is
Peter.
He even
put where the on button is.
That's important. Peter from Penfield. Welcome, Peter. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Informative and entertaining as always.
Thank you.
Well, let's see. I wanted to give a follow-up on something that called a few weeks ago, and also time to comment on the internet data issue.
Sure.
Just to give you a little background, I'm running a PowerBook G4, so I'm a little bit outdated, but anyways, it's got iTunes 9 on it.
Okay.
But the issue that I called about a few weeks back was I wanted to just play one song in iTunes and not have it play the history, if you will, of kind of the music center column there. And the search was a good suggestion, using the search bar and searching for the title of the song. The only problem is I'm a little bit Microsoft kind of folder-based, where I like to go in a folder and I say, okay, that's the song, and I don't necessarily remember the titles.
Right.
So I found out there was two other things that could be done. One is highlighting all of the items in that name listing center column and then choosing delete. Which is a little bit dicey because it's set up where it's a double pop-up confirmation type thing.
Yep.
So the other thing is, I believe that I looked at is highlighting all and choosing uncheck. That way, as long as they're all unchecked, then it won't play the next one in the.
Yeah, I thought we had suggested unchecking last week, but apparently we did not,
I
apologize.
Yeah, maybe you did. Maybe I missed it.
Okay.
But I'm glad that you found that because that's, it'll play that one song either over and over again.
Yep.
Or if you've tried to shuffle it, it'll play that one song and then find another song to play, which is that one, and another song to play, which is that one.
Either way, you'll end up on the same spot.
But but the thing is, I find it frustrating that I can't go up in the menu and choose play, you know, whatever, one, all, whatever, you know.
Well, and do you want to know the real reason that is the way it is?
Sure.
Because Steve Jobs never wanted to do that.
His rules.
What would you recommend? Is there a decent alternative to iTunes? I'm almost interested in uninstalling it, but it seems like it's such a almost Internet Explorer type of
Well, yeah. You can't, if you've got any sort of iPod-ish sort of thing,
then iTunes is where
you're stuck. I don't, actually.
Okay.
So.
Well, if not, I'm sure that there's got to be alternatives.
I don't own a lot of stuff on the Mac, so particularly on 9.
How about Winamp? Does that work on Mac?
On your let's see. You said you're running a PowerBook G4.
Yeah.
Is it running Mac OS 10?
It is 10. Was it 10.4.11? That's as high as I can get. Because I got a PowerPC.
Right. Yeah. Well, QuickTime itself will happily play given MP3s, and I think you can even make a playlist. You may be able to make a playlist in something like VLC.
I was just looking at VLC.
That would be a good way to go.
And I think I've got VLC on here. Okay.
And I have to think that there are half a dozen different shareware apps. The trick is going to be to find some that are written in what's called universal format, so that they'll play both on an Intel machine and on the older PowerPC machines.
Yeah.
And that's becoming harder because Apple's starting to drop support for PowerPC-based stuff.
Hold on. We did have Steve, who is working, said, bottom left corner of iTunes, there's a play all, play one icon. Sure. Next to the shuffle icon. Finally, all the customer...
Next to the shuffle. All right, I'm checking this out here.
Customer left and I... All right, so he is listening.
Okay, yep. Well, hello, Mr. Ray. Yeah. Nice to hear from you. Yeah that's
play,
right. So
playlist once.
Play the playlist,
playlist
once.
Playlist a repeat item.
Yeah, I think if you click it until you get... you click it once, and the little chasing arrows turn on. You click it again, and they turn on with a little one next to it.
That's scary. I'm actually learning how to operate this Mac in the middle.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
That is.
So maybe give that a shot and see if that feature may match what you want and save you from having to chase down a new app. But
thank you.
But if you try it anyway, VLC, I know, will help you make playlists. I think it'll support playing audio stuff, too.
Okay.
Definitely video, but probably audio.
Okay, that sounds good. And Dave, you might get a kick. The song that I was interested in lately is Dave Brubeck's The Desert and the Parched Land.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Classical style, classical music. It's pretty poignant.
Cool.
Oh, neat. Thank you.
Yep.
Have a good one.
Yep. And if you got a second, I was going to comment about the internet data.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was on Slashdot or what it was a few months back, a bit of a conversation on this, and it... This kind of blew a couple synapses, but I read that, I think in Hong Kong, it's something like a terabyte that they get.
Yes.
And it's like $20 a month.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about this. South Korea, too.
Okay.
Yep. When we say we're a third world country, I really mean that.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So,
like tin cans and string.
Yeah.
And the thing that frustrates the heck out of me, because I kind of am a little bit going way back into ham radio days, remembering auto patch calls and all that, so
sure.
I've been kind of resistant about getting a cell phone altogether.
Yep.
But I mean, the thing to me is, hey, if I'm going to get a cell phone, I solely want a data plan so I can just use Skype.
Yep.
And then I can surf the internet and I can tether to my laptop and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, they'll sell you all those things, but at a very high premium.
Yeah, it's very difficult to get a data plan apparently, unless it's solely for a tablet.
Right.
And I want to get kind of the Motorola Atrix guy where I can have my little phone and then dock it to a laptop kind of thing.
Yep. But yeah. I've been looking at the Asus EEEPC Transformer T101, I believe is the name. And it's essentially a 10-inch Android tablet that plugs into a keyboard so it turns into a laptop. And, oh, by the way, while it's plugged into the keyboard, there's a battery in the keyboard that will recharge the laptop.
Clever.
Okay.
And it's a 10.1-inch tablet.
Right.
So it's a little different from the phone thing you're looking at, but
yeah,
that's pretty cool too. And there are more companies theoretically coming out with that Atrix type thing where you can plug your phone into a laptop.
Right.
Yeah.
They've announced them. They aren't available yet.
You could homebrew it with one of those Wi-Fi phones, along with one of those Verizon things we were looking at earlier.
And a lot of phones nowadays will tether.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Well, great. Well, thanks, guys. I'll get up to
Thank
the
you.
Phone here.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I know that's one of the things I'm having to deal with is I've got the iPad with the 3G data, and I pay for that every month, and it's really painful to consider jumping to another paying again for a data plan for my cell phone and having to think about that and seeing how many different times I can get charged for the same type of data access.
Well, and that's what a lot of us are saying. You know, we're already paying X, and now you want us to pay Y on top of that just to add another device.
Yeah, I think there's going to have to be some sort of consolidation there, or some other competitor will step in with something creative.
Well, and I think it's going to be the competitor before it's anything else. You know, I've said this a dozen times, but the cellular ISP who doesn't charge a tier plan is going to win, is going to own everything.
Right. I think about...
Everybody else is going to go to them. I mean, everybody will just go to them.
Do you remember the 90s?
Yes, 90s. It's the 60s, I don't remember.
the 90s when you could get the AOL floppies with every magazine, and they'd say, you 10 free hours.
Them. Yeah,
yeah,
they make great coasters. Yeah.
Different colored CDs, ones.
So they'd say, 10 free hours, and then next month it'd be 15 free hours, and they'd keep upping the ante because, you know, MSN and all the other players were doing the same thing.
Yep.
So you'd get to the point where they were offering, here's 100 hours, but you have to use them in a month, And before you knew it, then everybody jumped to the unlimited, and there was this spirit of competition between all these different places.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that will cascade over to the cellular networks and wireless data in general.
Well, that'll be nice. There really are some, I suppose, legitimate financial reasons that they're doing what they're doing, but most of it is because they just have to make more money than last month.
Well, they can, and you'll pay it.
Exactly. and where it's going to end up is when somebody, enough people, say no mas and go to a carrier who's not charging for a tier, is not tiered or capped or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And those are really the big differences that we're going to see. We're going to see, I think, whoever's got the you know, then there's a problem is, for example, my wife and her sister talk all the time, but we're all on Verizon. So there's no cost for that. And if
Verizon has to pay something.
Right. But my point is, if we were to move to a different carrier and suddenly we were paying for cross, unless my sister-in-law moved to that carrier as well,
yeah,
we're suddenly paying for cross-carrier
right
phone calls, that's going to change things too.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, when we drive halfway across the country to take my daughter to school or pick her up,
mm-hmm.
we get great coverage all the way across with another carrier.
Maybe not.
I'm sure they might. I just don't know that because I haven't looked at a map of those things yet. So those are all considerations. But for those of us who are mostly in one geographical area, and that area is well covered by multiple carriers, we have a lot more options, and we can vote with our wallets, and that's really what it comes down to.
Right. For sure.
So, and Dave, of course, doesn't care about any of this, because he barely has a phone that can make calls.
Hey, I upgraded my phone. I can do decent texting now.
That's true. That's true.
And I use upper and lowercase.
Yep.
You've been dragged kicking and screaming into the 20th century.
Believe it or not, I have gotten to where I prefer to text a person than to call them.
Sure.
Only reason being that, you know, I don't have to get in a lengthy conversation. So
I got you here.
Yeah, you know, and they get going on something else, and, you know, it's like, all right, especially my distributors and that, I can just quick text them and say, all right.
Right.
Because he'll sit there and how's the weather up there?
How's everything going on? Yeah. You know what? I don't care. I want my parts and I need to get off the phone and go back to doing my job.
Or, you know, talking to somebody else. Because, again, how you feeling? You know, how's it going? And just text them and then I can get back to them. And, of course, you know, what I have been having fun with, and I got to admit it, is the different dial, the ringtones.
Oh, I bet you have.
Talk about the 90s.
I still have the ringtone. My daughter, I made her say this into the phone one time. She was like 6 years old. I made her say, "Dad, pick up the phone."
All right, here's one that I do.
And that's my ringtone for her.
Let's Dave's Ringtone Theater presents.
Yeah, let's wait a minute. I got this
Dave
one.
Is actually
no, hang
going,
on. I got it right here. No,
it
wait.
It really is the 90s. Dave is actually going to talk to us about his ringtones, and we're going to have to listen to them. This is the equivalent of, I want you to see my slides. There you go. This is my vacation
nice
slides. Now for people, you want to hear my new ringtones? No, not really.
Nick,
I don't care.
We just need to nod and smile over at Dave. Very nice.
And I'm nodding back.
Yeah.
Yeah, face the camera with that face.
Yeah, exactly. It. I will say this.
I love
that
you guys.
The ability, we love you. And the ability to
I'm
set
never
various
back
ringtones
again.
works pretty nicely. My problem is I've got a couple of ringtones set that are way too... I have tinnitus, and my ears ring. My ears ring by themselves. I don't need a phone for that.
Perfect.
And believe me, you don't want to hear that particular ringtone. So there are times when I've got ringtones set that are very close to what's going on in my head. I can't hear them. So I have to now pick things that have a rhythm or a beat or are just very, very loud to be heard over those times when my tinnitus is really acting up. So I've got, you know, I'll be sitting in a meeting and suddenly this blaring thing goes off. I'm hearing fine right at the moment because my ears aren't ringing,
mm-hmm.
but that's the sound I have to have for those times when it is. So
wow,
it's just very weird. But the nice thing is I can do that.
You know, like I say, you know, this phone, because folks say, well, don't you want your email and all that on? I go, no, I don't need my
because
email and all that can stay on my phone. I get too much of that anyways.
It'll be a leash.
Yeah, you know. I have to cut the strings sometimes, and that's my way of doing it. I have control.
You don't cut the strings. You just gave the strings to Sam. Sam is the one who tells you where to go next and what to do next.
Shh.
Exactly, but that's how that works.
Cool.
All right, we're going to take a break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. toll-free 1-800-790-0415. For Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, we will be back in just a couple of more minutes with the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Sound Bites right here on the truly magnificent, member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And I'm Linda Wildman.
Yes, we've traded in Dave for Linda, or Linda for Dave, however which way that works.
He had to go get a new ringtone.
And so. we certainly got the best half of that deal, I must tell you that. But we're back, and we have Bert from Palmyra on the line. Welcome, Bert. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
Did a stupid thing. Grabbed the wrong USB stick to dump the ISO image of an operating system I wanted to look at onto my big 8-gig one. Uh-huh. Is there a quick and dirty way of cleaning that up and making it usable again?
Well, you can...
Sure.
Are you looking to get the data on it that was back... get back the data that was on it?
I had no data on it. It was a new stick.
Oh. Then just
reformat
it. I just
want to make it usable so I can put data on it.
Then just reformat it. Not a problem.
Reformat it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, in terms of that stuff, as long as you make sure you're reformatting the right thing. Right?
Yeah.
As far as the system is concerned, it's basically a hard drive.
Yep.
The one thing you have to remember is you want to put a fat table on it, not NTFS or any of that stuff.
Okay.
Because with a fat table on it, how big is this thing?
You said 8 gigs. Yeah. 8.
It should be fine, shouldn't it? Yeah. No. Maybe
you need
it isn't.
NTFS for that, don't
you? You need NTFS for that. But you won't be able to use it on, for example,
Windows 3.
Right. Only very old Windows
95.
System, right. But if it gives you the chance, you know, you can do it all as one giant thing and by reformatting it. The reality is that USB sticks are looked at as if they were. Just another hard drive.
Ah, excellent.
So you can do all those things.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Thanks, Bert.
Thanks, Bert. Our pleasure.
Bye.
And that's the dirty little secret of of them. And they have. Oh,
hello,
Linda. You gotta.
If you'd like to make a call,
down.
Please
thanks.
Pick up the phone and dial again.
Yeah, he. That's the dirty little secret of these things. They're just. As far as the systems are concerned, they're just odd-sized hard drives.
Yeah.
And, of course, 8 gig was bigger than the hard drives we originally used to have.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Have you played with any of those SSD hard drives?
I have.
I've heard that, like this 4G data, that once you've had them, you can't go back.
They're ridiculously fast. I have one in a laptop at work.
Yeah.
And it boots up in literally just seconds, just a few seconds.
A client of mine got one of those MacBook Airs that has the SSD in it, and I sat in front of it expecting it to be a smaller laptop with less power, and it was blindingly fast.
I sat down and said,
whoa, what's going on here?
Yep.
I'm thinking about putting one of those into a couple of Mac Minis that I have, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm just waiting for the price to become a little bit more advantageous. Because I'm used to getting gigs of storage,
right,
and it's like, you know, a fifth of what you used to get for almost the same price.
You'd think they would be down to that by now, since so many gazillions of them have been sold. But particularly with Chromebooks coming out, there's going to be lots and lots of them on the market.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, our next caller is Gil. Or not.
Maybe not. So back to SSDs.
We'll go back to SSDs. Go ahead.
I was thinking...
Gil, call back, please, because apparently we've...
A lot of people are doing like a hybrid approach where they'll have their OS and their apps on the SSD to make them run nice and fast, and then they'll keep the regular hard disk for all of their other data, their music, their movie files, and other stuff. And when it comes to data, the number one thing to think about is backup. And this being the Father's Day weekend, nice tie-in, if you're a dad, that means you've got kids. And if you've got kids, that means you may also have a wife. And if you've got a wife, you want to keep her happy. And the way you keep her happy is by not losing the digital pictures of the kids. And the way you do that is by backing up. And I know that's a long way to get there.
But you're absolutely right. Back up today.
Yes. Don't even wait. And if you're looking for a gift to give your favorite dad,
a backup hard drive or a USB stick or anything, or a subscription to any one of the many online places that does backups, always a good idea.
Terabyte hard drives with USB, you know, so you plug them right into the computer, right into the network. You can get the ones that plug right into the network. They're cheap now.
Oh, well, less than $100.
Yeah. So spend that little bit of money, put it right on the network, save all your pictures to it. It's another nice way to back it up.
Yeah, and you won't have to live in a tent like I did.
That's exactly right. No, you were out there with your whole family.
Yeah, no, we were camping. I didn't do anything wrong yet.
Yeah. Hi, honey, for Father's Day, let's go camping. But I hate camping. Great, we'll see you there. All right, our next caller is Gary. Right. Gary, where are you calling from? No, you're not Gary.
I remember that guy. We had him before.
Linda has found that this system often just goes a little crazy in and of itself. Do you know you put in the phone number and then you got to push that button up there and do all of that stuff? And she's doing all of that.
All right. Gil, Gary, call us back if you would.
We've had that problem with Dave, too. We blame it on Dave. Okay. So we'll blame it on Dave now.
Maybe it's not Dave. Maybe it's not Dave.
It may be the system itself. It's certainly Linda knows this system cold. Believe me, she does.
Have you tried hitting it on the side?
Yeah, if you percussive maintenance, I think, is the next thing to try. Just hit it with something. One of the things that we've talked about multiple times here is the fact that we're not really designed. This studio was never designed for call-in shows, and so you have to do an amazing number of odd things.
Yeah, there's also gymnastics involved.
Yeah, exactly. In the meantime, I'll read another news story. Facebook users are more trusting, have more close relationships, and are more socially involved with others compared to the average American, according to a new survey from the Pulling Surveys out of our Pew Research Center.
From the Fire is Hot Research Center.
Exactly. Pew surveyed 2,255 people over the age of 18, and adjusting for demographic factors found that internet users on the whole are more than twice as likely as non-internet users to feel more people can be trusted, which is perhaps surprising considering how cynical the internet makes us. However, frequent Facebook users are 43% more likely than even this to trust others. Pew says its survey indicates that the average American has two discussion confidants, people to whom we feel we can talk about the important things in our lives. Regular Facebook users betters this by having 9% closer core ties. I believe that really means that people on Facebook will talk to anybody about
on
anything.
Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, Facebook users also get more social support. According to the survey, Americans who aren't online rated the total support they receive from others as 75 out of 100. Facebook users rate their total support as 83 out of 100.
So if support means you click the like button next to somebody's post.
Yeah, you click the like button because it's like, you know what? If I have to come over to your house and pat you on the shoulder while you're going through a breakup, that's hard.
Yeah.
If I just have to say, on Facebook, that's easy. Of course you're going to get more. These people are, well, all right, fine.
You're done. You can go back out, go shopping.
Yeah, basically Facebook is great if you're single and lonely. And if you're thinking of hooking up with old school friends, you'll be pleased to hear that Pew found the largest share of Facebook friends, 22%, are old high school pals, while 9% are old college friends. The average Facebook user has 229 friends, which shows how unloved you are if you're under 229, and 7% of those are people the individual has never met. Perhaps surprisingly, Pew found that only 40% of users friend every one of their closest confidants on Facebook. This is better than the last survey in 2008 when just 29% did so, but the low number might relate to the age bias within Facebook membership that discounts older family members. Pew's figures indicate that while those over 35 are taking a growing share of Facebook users, excuse me, compared to 2008, the good news for the dwindling number of MySpace users is that they're more likely to consider multiple points of view compared to other net users. The bad news is that the only people who make contact with them are making fun of them for still using MySpace.
Right.
Are you more trusting because you're on Facebook? Give us a call with your bank account info. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free. 1-800-790-0415. Just like Gil did. Gil, where are you calling from? We're going to try Gil again. Nope.
See, that's what we call the comedy rule of threes.
That's exactly right. There clearly is something wrong with the board. Dave punched something before he left. It's not Linda's fault.
And he's listening in his car and laughing.
And he's just laughing hysterically as we go. And I think we're just going to read another
so
news
article. We've had news articles about interstellar travel. We've had one about OS X Lion, and we've had two about scams and one about Facebook. So will this be another social media or will this be another scam article?
Scam. Ah. Another scam article.
Good,
win. You win. Thanks to successful botnet shutdowns, the amount of spam oozing through the internet has dropped considerably over the past year, driving the overall percentage of unwanted email messages to depths unseen since 2006, when only 400 gazillion of us were on the internet. Phishing, however, is on the rise, according to Symantec's June 2011 State of Spam and Phishing Report. Spam rates dropped 10% from April to May of this year. Between May 2010 and May 2011, spam rates plummeted 70.65%, according to Symantec. Those percentages appear a bit less impressive, however, when you consider that spam still made up 72% of all email messages in the month of May.
72.
It dropped 70% and was still 70% of all email.
Huh.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to see the pie chart on that.
Well, what it means is there's a bucket load of spam out there on the internet still.
So 8 out of 10 messages are spam.
Yep. Still compared to spam rates of more than 90%, which is what we saw repeatedly over the last 3 years, it's a heartening trend. Less heartening, however, the overall phishing landscape increased by 7% between April and May. Phishing websites built with automated toolkits jumped 25%, and the number of non-English phishing sites surged 18%, with Portuguese, French, Italian, and Spanish among the popular languages. Spammers and phishers, so the Germans are still safe. It's very good to know. George is here as well. George does the German show right after us. Some of the best German music you will hear all week.
Yeah.
Linda, of course, keeps him on the straight and narrow for that show. She's
unable to do it for you.
No. It's whatever Dave did to the machine.
Yeah.
Do we want to try again?
Now that we're done talking about spam and fish,
I'm
getting
hungry.
Do we
have somebody to try again? Let's try again. Who've we got? Oh, we've got him again. I don't like him. Get rid of him.
Now we've got what's called the running gag.
Well, exactly. Now it's the running gag.
It's the comedy tutorial.
And now to the busy signal. And George does the German show. If you've not heard the German show, you're missing some truly great music.
Just
he does.
Stay right where you are. You'll hear it soon enough.
Right. If you don't speak German, that's okay, because every once in a while he accidentally lapses into English. And you can sometimes make out what he's saying. But it is a truly great show. And that's one of the nice things about this station. It's very eclectic. Yeah, we're a jazz station. But we have a polka show. We have great German music. We have us.
Right.
These are not things you would find on the average radio station. And you got to give props to the folks at Jazz 90.1 for putting all of these different things on the air at once. And we want to thank, and I know we're not begging for any money right now, but I do want to thank everybody who has become a member because, again, this is your station and you're the ones who made this possible. So, again, thanks to each and every one of you. And let's go back to the phones. Thank you. That's exactly.
Saw that coming.
We apologize. Something has gone wonky. We've seen this several times. Something goes wonky in the... in the phones. And
why does
and
it have to be me?
It had to just it had to be you. It had to be you. And that's so this happens once in a while, and all we can actually do is chuckle quietly to ourselves and wait for somebody to come in and fix it.
Wow.
Is this our
outro,
thank God we're done.
Whew.
All right. We're just going to stop now. We're going to make George come in and do his stuff because we're tired of it.
It's the relief pitcher here.
Yeah, exactly. We're done. We want to thank each and every one of you for having called in. We apologize to those of you who got caught somewhere in the system. And please call early and more often next week at Chicago-style calling.
When Dave is here.
When Dave is here, and we'll let him deal with the problem.
Or on Second Life tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll be on Second Life tomorrow night. I actually will be there. I want to thank Dennis Worcester for having... come in from his camping trip to join us.
No problem.
I know how painful that was for you to leave camping to come here
and
do this.
Yeah, that's a real problem.
So for Linda Wildman, Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening.